Blog Talk Radio.
You know, Andrew, I'm trying to stay positive. I really am. SummerSlam kind of got to me a little bit. You know, Raw was okay. And you watch SmackDown on Tuesday, and you see that they're just forcing Becky Lynch as a heel. And then we get to tonight. You know, we get to Thursday, our night here in the live cast, and I'm watching Impact, and I'm saying, okay, you know what? I think it's going to be a good show. You know, Sami Callihan and Pentagon had a really good match at Slammiversary last month, and they're going to main event in a Mexican death match. That should be fun. And truthfully told, it was. But there was a lot on this show tonight that just did not renew my faith in professional wrestling. Let's put it that way. First and foremost, the thing we'll lead off with, I think they murdered a child.
Yeah, I'm really pulling for Richie here. He's been such a vital part of Impact for years. He's been with us on this long journey, and man, just hoping he gets better after getting hit by a car, and somehow we magically saw through his eyes as he was dying. It was just tragic. What a tragedy.
This is the stuff. I mean, if you missed it, this is the stuff. We talked about it last week. The theatrical production to some of the angles that they've done, and some of it I think works. Others I haven't been a fan of. I was not a fan of this, if you couldn't tell. There's a couple of things here. First of all, let's lead off with the fact that they killed a child. I mean, that's a first. Here's the thing, like, it's pro wrestling. So yeah, it's theater, right? It's not, we've talked about this. It's not sport, but you're still simulating sport. The matches are simulated sport to a certain extent. And what happens is you have a segment like that where a kid gets run over by a car. The OGs, LAX was celebrating getting their titles back, the OGs drove in a car, and the kid, Richie, who they put the titles on, he was holding the titles for LAX, they run him over with a car. That's what we're talking about. If you didn't see the show, that's what happened. The OGs ran over a kid with a car, and apparently he died. But what makes it so dumb to me? I mean, just saying it sounds stupid. Then they come back, and Josh Matthews and Don Callis have to act all somber for a couple of seconds. This is how it played out. I'll kind of reenact it here. This is basically how it played out. Josh Matthews, the show comes back in the air, and Josh goes, you know, what we just saw was disturbing, and just something needs to be done. This has gone too far. Something needs to be done. All right, next week on Redefined, we like, that's what makes it sound, it looks even dumber. I mean, it's bad enough that you killed a child, but then to just brush it off with, next week on the show, we have this, and we have this. It looks awful.
The thing that got me too was that they had dramatic music all queued up. So it wasn't just these two, you know, trying to make it sound serious. It was, dun, dun, you know, just in the background right behind them. So that was completely absurd. And the fact that, am I supposed to believe they never saw this footage before? And if they actually saw this footage, why aren't they like, hey, how did we see through that dying kid's eyes? Like, how is that possible? Yeah, that didn't bother them at all. This is bad. And it's a disappointment, too, because I found myself actually today, just middle of the day, being like, huh, I wonder what they're going to do with LAX, because last week it seemed like they maybe killed Eddie Kingston. So I figured maybe they'd take a couple weeks off with those guys. Maybe we'd never see him again. Maybe they'd write him out of the show. And instead, they're just riding in the back of a car like with this master plan of what? Running them over? Like, you know, they didn't know they were going to be in the middle of the road. What if everyone was just sitting on the lawn? What were they going to do? Just drive by and shake their fists at them and then drive off? This was pretty dumb. The episode overall was... I think it's been like four good episodes in a row in this one. not so good.
Yeah, I mean, there was some stuff on here that I liked. I don't want to it was completely awful. I thought the main event was good. I didn't think the main event was as good as the Slammiversary match, but I didn't expect it to be. The Slammiversary match between Callihan and Pentagon I thought was off the charts. So this one, not as good, but I didn't expect it to be either. But it's that really, like that segment in particular, granted it was at the end of the show, that really took me out of the show. I think if the option is doing segments like that where it's, you know, obviously a little more production to it and it's more theatrical in presentation, if the choices are do it once in a while or not do it at all, if we're going to get things like we got tonight, don't do it at all. Because I think it makes them look silly. I think it makes them look dumb. I think if you've never watched pro wrestling before, you're going to watch that and go, what was that? I mean, that's not going to make you want to watch the show. I think if you are a wrestling fan and you haven't watched Impact in a while, but let's say you've watched a lot of WWE, you're going to look at that and think that it's dumb. If you're maybe a lapsed wrestling fan that has watched a lot of UFC and MMA, and you happen to check out the show tonight, you're going to laugh at that. I mean, that's not going to make anybody want to watch the show.
No, not at all. And I think I talked about this last week, but if you introduce an angle with child murder, how am I going to care about a single other angle on the show that does not involve murder of some form? It's just too far. I mean, they could always come back next week and say Richie didn't die. It's stupid because they led you to believe that he did.
And how about the fact that nobody looked upset? I mean, what they Impact tweeted out video or like a 2-minute little video clip. So you can check it out on their Twitter feed. I retweeted it on my feed during the show because that's when I saw it come up. But like you watch the reaction and everybody was just like, oh, no, Richie. And then they just run over and stand over and stare at him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like nobody even seemed like they were that upset that somebody's kid just got run over by a car.
Yeah, and if you want to make it, it's a no-win situation, because if you want to make this feel realistic, then Josh Matthews and Don Callis should be like, I can't talk. Like, I just watched a child die.
The show's over.
Sorry. Yeah, sure.
Like, if you want to make it feel realistic, I'm sorry, you know, the main event's been canceled. We got to go off the air. A child just died outside of our building on our air. Sorry, yeah, the show's over.
Yeah, I quit the wrestling business because now I feel responsible for this happening. Goodbye, everyone. You know, it doesn't work. That's why, like, I brought this up before, too. That's why it works in Lucha Underground, because Matt Stryker and Vampiro do not know what's going on in these wacky supernatural vignettes. It's a story. Yep. It doesn't work to have them see through a dying child's eyes, which is a line I never thought I would say on a wrestling podcast. But here we are.
Yeah, this was bad. If you haven't watched it yet, you should check it out just because it was not good. And I feel bad, too, because, like, we have praised LAX for over a year now, it feels like. And I think that those two guys, Santana and Ortiz, I think have done a really good job. I think they're a good tag team. And a lot of what they've done has been really good. I thought the lead-up to the match at Slammiversary between the OGs and LAX was really good. And a lot of what LAX has done has been some of the best, not only the best stuff on Impact, but I'd go as far as saying some of the best stuff in wrestling over the last year. Like, not the best, but it's up there top 10. I think LAX has been that good. And then to have them involved in just some silly, stupid stuff like this, I think it hurts them, honestly. I mean, because like you said, what are they supposed to do now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody in their crew, his child died. What are they supposed to do? You know, short of what are they going to come out next week with handguns and start shooting at the OG? I mean, seriously, like, what are you going to do?
Right.
I mean, it makes them look dumb. It makes everybody look dumb.
Yeah. Like, seriously, what you just said, at this point, if this is the way it's going, they might as well film a vignette with them just shooting at each other.
Yeah.
And then kill off a couple of characters.
I mean, I don't know what you're supposed to do here. It's like, you just killed my friend's kid, so we want to challenge you to a wrestling match.
Yeah.
But think of how dumb that sounds.
And if they try, you know, in their matches, like, if you try to roll up a person or just try to pin them, like, that's how you're going to get revenge. So, man, it's too far. This angle probably has jumped the shark, which is too bad because last week I was a big fan of how they ended the show with that just big warfare in the park. I thought that was really well done, and this just is a complete head scratcher for what why they chose this and what they can possibly follow up with.
Yeah, and to me too, it's the creative that lacked in it, because I think that OGs, considering that they're both older guys, and I'm not sure how active they've been in wrestling over the last several years, they have performed in the ring really well, and LAX has performed well, and Kodan's obviously always great on the microphone, and King, Eddie Kingston, I think has been really good in his part on the microphone as well. So I don't put it on the wrestlers or the performers at all. I put this squarely on creative. And what I mean by creative is, you know, whoever came up with that, because that was awful. And it goes beyond, I mean, we haven't even discussed whether or not it's bad taste. You know, I think the whole production of it looks low rent. It looks cheap. It takes you out of the moment. It takes you out of the fact that you're supposed to be watching a program or a product that is simulating some type of sporting event. Take all that out of it. It's also in bad taste. I mean, they ran over a kid on TV. Mm-hmm. So if it's not real, and we know it's not, but if it's not supposed to be real, then why are we watching those types of segments? And if it is supposed to be real, well, then you just killed somebody. You just killed a kid on your TV. So either way, I think it's dumb.
Yeah, I mean, I have problems with it from pretty much every angle too. I mean, plus, this sounds stupid, but it's like the kid didn't even obviously hit the car. They didn't put any sound effects in. He wasn't bloodied up. He's just laying there on the ground after getting hit by a car. It was really half-assed and really awful in every other way.
We'll start with this, and we'll get to phone calls. 515-605-9345. Again, the number's 515-605-9345. I see a lot of people on hold. We just want to remind you, you got to hit the number 1. If you are on hold, that's going to tell us that you want to get on the air. So we see a lot of people that are on hold right now. Only 2 of you, though, are saying that you want to get on the air. So you have to make sure you hit the number 1 once you're on hold, and that's going to prompt us to let you know you want to get on the air. You should hear a little voice that says you are now in the host queue. When you call the number and get put on hold and start listening to the show, it doesn't tell you to hit the number 1 if you want to get on the air. So just making sure everybody knows, if you are on hold and you want to get on the air, make sure you hit the number 1 after you call 515-605-9345. Let's hit on a couple of these other segments, though, that I thought were just really bad. We started with that OG's LAX segment, which, like I said, you can go back and check out the video on Twitter if you haven't seen it. I know Impact tweeted out video of it. Let's go with the Grado segment as well. Aired a segment where Katarina and Joe Henry were talking with Grado backstage. Katarina basically said that I think she said that Grado was a laughingstock in Impact Wrestling now, and that's not what she signed up for when she agreed to date him, I think is how she phrased it, which I found funny. Anyway, so then that happens. Joe Hendry says that he's going to help Grado and train him, and Katarina and Joe Hendry walk off. Scarlett Bordeaux, comes in and says that she can help Grado with his women problems, but first he has to do something for her. And then Scarlett Bordeaux has this guy. I don't even know who he is. In my report on pwtorch.com, I called him her butler because that's what it looked like to me. But she said that Grado needed to do something for her and her handler, butler, whatever, first. And then they cut to Grado dancing in a thong on a pole for Scarlett Bordeaux and this guy who was eating popcorn watching them. And that seemed to be it. I think I wrote in the report after it happened, you know, what I'm not exactly sure what I just watched. Do you have any aside from, wow, that was really dumb, any reaction to Grado for some reason pole dancing for Scarlett Bordeaux?
I think I basically had the same reaction you did. Just, what is this? It's not funny. You know, Scarlett, I think, has been an interesting character so far, but this was pretty, pretty lousy and just a strange, I guess. You know, last week I talked about the Sean O'Hare character. Maybe she's like going for that, just trying to be a devil's advocate. And it's kind of how that's playing out because O'Hare did all these awesome vignettes. And then when he actually showed up, he just got like Spanky to run around naked and Don Marie to take off her top. So she's just getting Grado to strip for her. I don't like what am I supposed to do with this? am I supposed to be mad or that? I cannot think of a single thing I'm supposed to take from this. So, yeah, that was another low light of the show.
The last one that I thought was not a very good segment was Johnny Impact in a pool or at a pool party. He was being interviewed at a pool party. It was really loud, so Johnny Impact had to yell. There was some good in this segment, though. Johnny Impact said that now that he had beaten Kongo Kong, he was focused on winning the world title, and nothing was going to stand between him and the world title. So that part was good. You got Johnny Impact stating that he wants to win the world championship and that now nothing was in his way. That was very good. I like that. He had to yell because of the noise going on around him, but the fact that he clearly stated he wanted to win the world title, and that's what he was there for, was good. That's a good thing. What wasn't good, though, is I think, and again, this is not on Kongo Kong or Johnny Impact. They're doing what they're told, and they're trying to do the best with what they're dealt. But somebody in production, I think, or management or creative or whatever, needs to watch that segment after it's been taped and just realize, okay, we can't air this. And the reason why they shouldn't have aired it was you could barely hear Johnny Impact because he's got to yell and scream over the music that's playing. The interviewer, whoever was interviewing him, looked like a buffoon, like a complete goofball, wearing this weird looking jacket. I mean, he looked like a 1980s like cheesy TV guy. And then Kongo Kong comes in and attacks Johnny Impact. And while this is going on, you have people in the pool in the background, people standing around the pool deck watching the interview happen, who looked completely just indifferent about this 350-pound, massive, monster-looking guy who just runs in and starts beating up Johnny Impact. There were women within 5 feet of the fight who had their phones out laughing and giggling, you know, videoing the fight on their phone. You had people in the pool who were, you know, resting their faces on their hands, just kind of watching and not reacting at all to what's going on around them. The only people that reacted were there was two guys on a float that when Johnny Impact threw Kongo Kong into the pool, he almost, you know, sank them. Kongo Kong almost landed on these two guys, and they were kind of like, whoa, that was awesome. Like, you could kind of see their face, like, that was unbelievable. But nobody else had any reaction. It was like it wasn't even happening. There were people that were kind of giggling at it and laughing at it and filming it on their phones, and then there were people that were pretending like it was not even going on. I just thought it looked awful. And, like, again, that's not on Johnny Impact. That's not on Kongo Kong. But somebody needs to watch that and say, we can't air this. Like, it looks like nobody cares what's going on. It looked really fake. And
yeah,
everybody knows that these guys aren't actually, you know, trying to kill each other. But still, if you're pro wrestling and you're a pro wrestling show, I don't think you should be throwing up roadblocks in front. You've got enough people that are doubting you as an entertainment product as it is. So why throw up roadblocks in front of yourself that don't need to be thrown up? If you're going to put yourself in a situation where your show looks really fake, don't air it. And that's kind of what I mean. Like, they should have looked at that and said, this doesn't look good. And somebody should have made the decision to keep that off the air and do something else instead.
Yeah, agreed. Like, while I was watching that, I also had the thought, like, if I was producing this, I would go around and ask people, hey, can you pretend you think Johnny Impact is really cool? Just like, you know, he needed people around him who acknowledged who he was and were interested in what he was saying, because it, like you said, it looked like nobody cared. There were people 2 feet away from him not looking at him. Like, you know, he did not come across as a star. Nobody knew who he was. I can't imagine, you know, WWE wouldn't go out to a pool and have Roman Reigns out there and just have people act like they didn't care or that they didn't know who he was. So, yeah, it was really bad. And plus, I mean, that it just makes me wonder what happens when Kongo Kong gets out of that pool. I mean, he's got to come out sometime. Doesn't the fight continue, or he just goes home and dries off?
Or maybe he can't swim, and him and Richie are now in a better place together.
There you go.
But that's the thing. Like, so Johnny Impact's in jeans and a t-shirt, or jeans and a jacket. I don't think he had a shirt on. Because why would he? He never has a shirt on. But you know what? Hey, you know what? If I had abs like Johnny Impact, I would not have a shirt on either.
Oh yeah, me too.
I would sell my shirts. I would get rid of them all, even in the dead of winter. If I looked like that, I would never be wearing a shirt. I'd want everyone to know. But Kongo Kong shows up in his gear. He shows up in his wrestling gear with face paint on, and I think that's why. That's why I said, like, some of the women that were on the pool deck within a couple of feet, like, I'm not exaggerating when I say probably within 5 or 6 feet of the fight, they're filming it with their phones and just laughing. And it wasn't like, isn't this really cool laugh? Like, it almost looked like they were laughing at the product. And I don't know why you'd want to air that. Like, I don't know why you'd want to air that.
No, I think, you know, sometimes campy wrestling comedy works. You know, we've talked about how KM and Fall Ba, that sometimes hits.
Yeah, yeah, and I like their segment tonight. I thought that was good.
Yeah, that was I thought that was good. But yeah, this the Johnny Impact one was a misfire. He's just not comfortable in that role of being this rah-rah babyface trying to get everyone excited. They're just continuing to not do a great job. Just simply in casting him, and the entire thing was I mean, you're bound to have a dud when you have that many cheesy segments, and they had multiple of them tonight.
All right. Well, before we go to break, let's talk a little bit about the main event, because that's the one thing we both said that we thought was pretty good, and we haven't really discussed it much because of all of the other garbage that was on this show. But the main event, Sami Callihan beats Pentagon with a package pile driver off the second rope in a Mexican death match. What were your thoughts here? Because like I said earlier, I thought that it was good. I didn't think it was as good as their Slammiversary match, but I didn't really expect it to be. I figured there were some things that they couldn't do on TV that maybe they thought they could do on pay-per-view. And at the same time, you know, they didn't have as much time to put on the type of match that they had at Slammiversary. I thought the match at Slammiversary was a lot more athletic too. I thought there were bigger wrestling spots in the Slammiversary match than this match tonight. But overall, I thought the main event was good, and Sami Callihan gets a much needed win, I think, because if you think about it, you know, over the last several months or weeks at least, but months even, if you go back to June or July, he's been involved in some big matches and hasn't necessarily always been getting the win. So it hasn't hurt him yet. You know, he lost to Pentagon at Slammiversary. He lost the ultimate blow-off to the Eddie Edwards feud. So it hasn't hurt him yet, but I think that he needs to win at some point if you want him to continue to feel like a threat. So this was, I thought, good here. The way that it came across was good, too. I don't think it hurt Pentagon very much at all with all the gimmickry surrounding it, and I thought it was good for Callihan to get the win.
Agreed. Yeah. I think it's a great call to have him win cleanly. It gives him some more credibility. It makes, I think, just his matches in general more intriguing, because I just assumed the entire time even OVE was coming out, even though they were barred from ringside. I just figured we'd get some sort of nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, usually the fact that they make a point to say they're barred from ringside means they're coming out.
Exactly. Yeah. So I enjoyed that. I don't know if I love Pentagon losing cleanly, just because I think they could really have something in him. But, you know, I think the trade-off's probably worth it just to go with some clean pinfalls to make the matches more interesting. The match, no, it wasn't as good as Slammiversary. I probably would not have done some of the goofy comedy stuff with, like, Legos and just the pinatas in general. I don't think that really served much of a purpose. It was just too cute for this type of feud. So yeah, good. Another good Impact main event. But yeah, a little bit of a little disappointing too at the same time, I'd say.
Do you think that maybe I'm misremembering, maybe they've used blood on Pop before, but do you think Pop has given them a, no blood referendum? Because here they are with a Mexican death match.
Yeah.
There was no blood in the show. You know, there's been guys that have bled, you know, maybe accidentally or whatnot. I don't know when the last time it was. I'm sure that they've used blood on Pop before, but maybe it's a new thing where they said they didn't want it, or they wanted less of it because I just assumed it's a Mexican death match. When you look at the graphic they used to promote the show on social media this week, and it was pictures of Callahan and Pentagon with the red background, I just assumed somebody was going to bleed, and they didn't.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be more violent as well. I'm trying to think back now. I mean, I'm sure somebody can correct me, but yeah, I don't recall anybody bleeding lately. I know they did like fake blood when Johnny Impact was tossed into the steel steps, I want to say, by Congo Kong, but I don't know if anyone has really kind of cut themselves bladed lately. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I was expecting that to be a more intense, violent match. So maybe that's why they kind of relied so much on some of that silliness for the match, because they knew they couldn't do a full on blood one. But I'll keep that in mind for future matches to see how that plays out.
Yeah, it was just interesting that, you know, you've got a death match. I mean, you're calling it a death match. And
yeah.
With the exception of, you know, the staple gun stuff, I think is kind of gruesome. But for the most part, it was all stuff we've seen before. I mean, yeah, they went through some tables, but you get that in, you know, any type of street fight, someone's going through a table. You know, they battled with chairs earlier in the match. The Lego spot was different. You know, it seemed like a... You know, although they have used thumbtacks, they've definitely used thumbtacks on TV, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, because I was going to say that could just been something, though. You know what? Maybe they're looking for something different because, hey, after a while, I mean, that's one thing I think we've said. I think we said it even after the Slammiversary matches. You know, after a while, if you're going to do these violent street fights and death matches and all this other stuff, you lose some of what you're trying to do with the weaponry and the gimmicks around it, because a lot of it we've seen a million times. You know, how many times have you seen thumbtacks in pro wrestling? It's like, you know, quite frequently when there's matches like that. So I thought it was interesting during that match that the crowd was chanting, "We want fire."
Sick people.
Yeah. Those sick Canadians. I mean, Canadians are supposed to be nice people that are always like, "Oh, how are you?" I do a very bad Canadian
accent. I wasn't quite sure what that was.
But yeah, I mean, they've got this. Our Canadian friends have this reputation of being, you know, polite and pleasant people. And here they are chanting, "We want fire."
Ridiculous. So yeah, the only, you know, we had a death match tonight, and the only person that died was a 12-year-old boy.
This was poor Richie. Yeah. Hey, and you know what? In the Toronto fans' defense, maybe they weren't aware that Richie had passed on. In the previous segment.
That's probably it. Otherwise, they would have. I got no words for that.
Did anybody call an ambulance?
I don't know. They all just, somebody in the arena should have
We know that they stared at him because we saw through his dying eyes that they were all looking at him. So we know they were at least watching him die.
Yeah. Hopefully he comes back and then teams with the kid that won tag team gold with Braun Strowman.
Oh, ooh, yeah. What was his name?
Was that Lucas or something?
Luke, yeah. Richie and Lucas. There it is.
What a team.
That would work well, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what? Richie's already got tag team gold. He was carrying the belt. So as far as
I'm concerned, that's right. He had both of them.
Yeah. He is the tag team champions.
Just retire the belts now.
I can't believe, I'm still going over in my head the fact that they have to come back from break and be somber. Like Josh Matthews and Don Callis have to talk very, very stoically about the fact that a child just died on their air, and then just immediately transition into, now, don't forget, next week we have Tessa Blanchard against Ali and Sue Young for the Knockouts title. Rest in peace, Richie. But hey, the show must go on, Richie. I'm sorry.
Well, I noted their verbiage, too. They never said anything about a child or anyone dying or anything. They're just like, oh, this has gone too far.
Yeah, this has gone
too far. This is, LAX has gone, or the OGs have gone too far in this one. Not believable. I think you'd be more upset if you saw that, and none of it makes any sense.
It would be interesting to me, you know, we just talked about that, the main event, if Pop went to them and said, hey, you know, you need to tone it down with some of the violence. We don't want as much blood, you know, and I'm guessing here, but let's just say that was the case. It would be interesting and kind of funny if Pop, you know, made a stink about the blood on the TV, but had no issue with the child dying.
That's certainly possible.
I worry what this does for them going forward from a business standpoint. You know, if you're a network executive at a bigger network who's considering Impact Wrestling for your television network, wouldn't you look at that tonight and just be like, "Oh, I'm not putting that in my, I can't put that in the air." Like if you're somebody from, and I'm going to use Paramount Network as an example, even though I don't think they're at all interested in the wrestling business, but that's where Impact was for a long time, the former Spike TV. If you're an executive at the Paramount Network and you're like, you know what, you know, we should bring Impact back. It's new management. Dixie Carter's gone. That's who we didn't want to do business with anymore. You know, we should consider bringing Impact back to Paramount Network. If you're the executive and you're going to pitch that, would you pitch it knowing that, okay, I'm going to pitch this, but then I got to go into my bosses and explain to, you know, the head of Viacom why, or explain to the head of Viacom why they're killing a child on their TV. Like, you can't defend that. So I don't know, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I would imagine there's going to be some, if they keep doing stuff like that, and I'm not saying they're going to kill a kid every week on their TV, but I would hope not anyway. I don't want to give them any ideas.
Right.
But at some point, you would have to think that that's going to close some doors for them. Like, I can't see anybody, any television executive who would be concerned about their own well-being and their own employment, having the ability to defend to one of their bosses why you should put this wrestling company on the air, because, you know, they killed a kid on their TV a couple of weeks ago. I would assume close some doors.
I would think so too. I mean, a good TV show can get away with that, like a scripted HBO show or a Showtime show. You know, you can kill a kid and it's very much for dramatic purposes. It's going to be a major plot point. But this is just one of 10 things going on in the show. This is, you know, you kill a kid on the same show that Grado is stripping for a woman while a man just gobbles down popcorn because he's like so aroused, I guess. It's just.
But that's the thing, yeah, too. Like, if you do it on an HBO drama, there's a big difference maybe between an HBO drama, which you know going in, it's a scripted drama, and professional wrestling, which is supposedly simulating a sporting event.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big difference. You expect characters are going to die on scripted dramas. That happens all the time. But, you know, it doesn't happen in sports ever. You know, I can't remember the last time a kid died when I was watching an NFL game.
On the field.
Yeah. Or even in the crowd. But guess what? Let's say I don't even know how this would happen. We'll use hockey because hockey might be a better example.
Okay. Yeah.
A puck gets shot out of play and it hits a kid, and in the arena, God forbid a kid dies, the game's probably going to get canceled. Like, they're probably going to say, you know what? We're going to finish this another time. I don't think they're going to, you know, scrape the kid up, throw him in an ambulance and be like, all right, yeah, you know what? Well, on with the game. That's not how it works. You know, in fact, you know, ironically enough, this is a sad story, but like 10 or 15 years ago, that actually happened. I think it happened during like pregame warmups. I want to say it was in Columbus at a Blue Jackets game. And that's why there's netting behind the net now. There was never netting behind the net in NHL arenas. It happened because during warmups, or it may have been during a game, a puck went up and struck a kid in I don't remember off the top of my head if it was just a serious injury or if the kid unfortunately passed away. But yeah, that's the reason why the netting was up there. And I'm almost certain the game stopped and they made it up at a different point or something like that. But it's ridiculous if you really think about it, because the narrative structure of a television drama is way different than a live sporting event. And to me, you can't be both. You've got to be one or the other. You're either a scripted drama or you're simulating sport. And too much of all wrestling, but Impact in particular, is you're in an arena. These matches are happening in front of a live crowd. It is a simulated sporting event. You can't be killing people, even if it is, you know, if you're going to defend it, or if they're going to defend it as, you know, not you, Andrew, but if they're going to defend it as, oh no, it's no different than a you know, scripted drama on HBO or ABC or anybody else doing that. No, it is way different, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, so this kind of came to my mind. So I was reading an interview from Austin Aries today, and basically he was saying, like, I don't watch a lot of wrestling because it most of, you know, he didn't come out and say WWE, but he's like, it doesn't really appeal to me. It's for kids. They just try to sell merchandise. So I like more adult oriented wrestling, which I'm for that personally. I'm with that as well. But like, you know, violent, you know, more like violence, mature language. That's more, I guess, adult content. Killing a kid in their minds might be like, hey, this is edgy. This is adult, but that's just stupid.
No one's ever killed a kid in wrestling before. Let's do it.
Yeah. And again, they may come back next week and just say Richie's in the hospital and he may never walk again or something. I don't know what they'll come up with, or he's in a coma.
We didn't kill a kid. We just paralyzed a kid. Everybody needs to calm down.
It's very inspirational. So, they can go that route. But, I mean, obviously they ended this night, that segment, making it seem like he's dead. So they can come back and say, no, it didn't happen. But that's where they're going for. And, again, it's not good adult writing. It's just silly nonsense.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are way late for a break. We've gone 35 minutes without taking a break because we've been too busy talking about poor Richie. And we're dedicating the show to Richie in remembrance.
It's for you, Rich.
Yeah, in remembrance of Richie, this week's edition of the Thursday Livecast is dedicated to you and your memory. If you have memories of Richie, you can give us a call at 515-605-9345 and share your Richie memories. This is our Richie tribute show here on the PW Torch Livecast. But no, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll get to phone calls at that number. That number was not a fake number, 515-605-9345. If you have memories of Richie, feel free to call. But if you also just have thoughts on tonight's impact, you can call that number as well. Again, 515-605-9345. Just make sure you hit the number one once you're on hold. That's going to tell us that you want to get in the caller queue. If you have not heard the prompt that says you are now in the host queue, you are not in our caller queue to let us know that you want to get on the air. So make sure you hit the number one. That will tell us that you want to get on the air and talk impact. Again, the number 515-605-9345. Andrew and I are going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get to phone calls here on the Thursday Livecast.
Hey, PW Torch fans, it's Sam Roberts, the last professional broadcaster, here to tell you about my podcast, Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Every Thursday morning on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on YouTube, notsam.com, wherever you get podcasts, you will find it. Interviews with the A-list of pro wrestling, whether it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, just recently Corey Graves, Mauro Ranallo. They're all guests of Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, as well as regulars like Dan Soder and one of my favorite people to talk about pro wrestling with, Wade Keller. Plus, every week we do a deep dive and analyze what's going on in the world of pro wrestling this week with the state of wrestling. Bruce Pritchard calls it the best interview in wrestling podcasts. I don't know if that's true, but that's what Bruce Pritchard says. Subscribe now. Get it every Thursday morning across podcast platforms, or get the premium version at stitcher.com/notsam.
All right, Andrew and I are back on the live cast here on a Thursday. We're talking Impact Wrestling. Let's go to the phones. And Kylan in New Jersey is up first. Kylan, do you have any Richie memories for us?
No, Mike and Andrew. Unfortunately, I do not have any Richie memories for you. However, I do have perhaps an explanation to why we had to be subjected to watching that monstrosity of a Grado segment.
Oh, okay. Oh,
all right.
I'll take any explanation we can get.
This was the only thing I could think of, so forgive me if this completely off the wall or just as stupid as the segment, but I'm thinking that Katarina had Grado go and visit Scarlett Bordeaux, and Bobo, I believe Scarlett is referring to the Jameson ripoff gentleman as a way to spice up their, shall we say, bedroom chemistry.
Yikes.
Great old Mikey Lackey in that department.
I like that. That's good reasoning.
Perhaps she might be making great old watch 50 Shades of Grey or one of those type of movies. I don't know.
Hey, you know what? I don't know. I don't know what to expect anymore. Nor do I know really what to say after that.
I don't either.
I probably made more sense out of it than the creative team that wrote it probably wished to, but...
Hey, you know what? It makes sense to me.
It's a good theory.
Yeah, it works for me.
I'm not sure if you have heard this piece of news, but apparently as of about 10 a.m. this morning, Billy Corgan and Dave Lagana announced the news that Jeff Jarrett and Global Force Wrestling, or now Global Force Entertainment, since Jeff restructured Global Force when he signed his deal with Fight TV about 7 months ago, are helping Billy and Dave promote the NWA 70th anniversary show at the old Impact Asylum. Which will be carrying on Fight TV as the first event under the newly restructured Global Force Entertainment deal with Fight TV.
I did see that. Yeah, it's an interesting one. There's a lot of interesting Jeff Jarrett news. You get that, number one, which, I mean, hey, that should be a fun show. I mean, and if they get some of the names together that I think they might be able to, that should be a fun show. Just I'd like to just see what the Asylum looks like now, because I feel like it's been years since we've seen that on television. I know I haven't seen it in a long time. Personally speaking, but yeah, that should be fun. And also the other bit of news with Jeff Jarrett that I found interesting this week is he is defending the AAA Mega Championship at Triple Mania this weekend, the big AAA event down in Mexico. He's doing it in a Fatal 4-Way, I believe. Remember now, he's currently suing Anthem Sports, so he's currently suing Impact Wrestling, and he's in there against three Impact talents. It's wow. Jeff Jarrett against... I think he's – I have to look. I don't remember exactly who he's against. I think he's against Phoenix. I think it's Phoenix, Rich Swann, and Brian Cage, if I remember correctly. So you've got him partnering with Billy Corgan in this NWA show, and then you've got Jeff Jarrett wrestling three Impact wrestlers while he's in the middle of suing Impact Wrestling. So, yeah, a lot of weird Jeff Jarrett news happening this week.
Yeah. Since we're on the subject, my friends, I might as well rip off the Band-Aid and ask a question that I really hate to even ask because it sounds so stupid. But let's play this theory out here. Let's say that Ed Nordholm and Leonard Asper are stupid enough to say, we feel that these trademarks are ours, even though we know we've been illegally using them, and we wish to go to trial. Let's say from there, Anthem Sports and Entertainment loses, and the judge unanimously rules in Jeff Jarrett's favor, meaning Anthem Sports has to give Jeff all of his footage back, and Impact has to take down all of the tape library footage from the global Global Wrestling Network. Do you suppose that instead of just changing the name of the Global Wrestling Network and taking down all the tape library footage, since Anthem is already bleeding money anyway, that Ed Nordholm would just say, you know what? I didn't know much about this stuff anyway. I'm still making silly decisions now. We're done. I'm just gonna call Vince McMahon and make him an offer to sell this place. Or do you think they would still find a way to continue operating?
My guess is that they want to see this through. It seems that way. I mean, I think they've had plenty of opportunity to get out if they wanted to get out. I mean, if they're really bleeding as much money as they are, or if they couldn't afford the amount of expenditure that they've had in running the company, they could have just closed it down. And instead, they're making some moves that make me believe that, hey, you know, they got to be at least thinking there's some type of upside here. They're running different buildings or out of Orlando. We see the fact that they're going back to Toronto for TV tapings. They're going to Mexico for TV tapings. They're going to Vegas for TV tapings. They're going to New York for a pay-per-view. I don't know if they found a model that works. I think getting into the live event business will help offset some of their costs. You know, when they're in Orlando and they're running a TV taping, they can't sell tickets, so it's all expense. At least when they go to Toronto and they go to these other markets, they can sell tickets. And even if it doesn't generate a profit, maybe it offsets some of the expense. So maybe it helps stop the bleeding a little bit. But I don't know. My assumption would be that they would like to see it through and own it and keep going with it. I mean, it seems like they've made some long-term investments in talent. You know, they've signed some talented two-year deals that we've talked about. So my guess is that they would try to see it through. But that being said, I mean, if they try to go head-to-head with Jeff Jarrett in a lawsuit and it costs them more money than they expected, and it's a long, drawn-out process, as the legal process can be sometimes and can get expensive, maybe they run out of money and decide they need to get out. I don't know. But my guess would be that they would figure out a way to keep it going. Also, I don't know that they would draw this out, honestly. You saw last week they pulled down some of the Global Force DVDs that they had for sale on the website. I think you know, watching some of the moves they made in the last week, my guess is that they believe they may be in the wrong. So I wouldn't be surprised if this settled fairly quickly. But again, that's no inside information. That's just my guess. Andrew, what do you think there?
You know, I'm kind of surprised that it's even gotten to this point, unless, you know, maybe relations between Jarrett and Nordham aren't that good, because I would assume he could just text him and be like, hey, give me those initials back or I'm going to sue you. And then at that point, Nordham could just be like, okay, yeah, you got a point. Let's not. But apparently not, because they are, he's suing him. And
it's also interesting, like you and I talked about when they were doing it last year, they were using those things on TV without owning the trademark.
Yes, which we warned them. We did. but I think the company will be fine. I think before it would get too costly, they would just drop it. I I mean, I know nothing about the legal world, so I don't know how much money has already been invested, if they're trying to fight this at all, getting lawyers, or if they're just getting stuff off of their website, off of their, you know, as much as they can off GWN, seeing like, hey, do we actually need to change the name? They're probably looking into stuff like that right now. But I imagine they personally, I don't think they would give up much of a fight, but I could always be wrong. Maybe they think they have invested enough.
Yeah, I also don't know. Well, I mean, I'm not. I don't know how this works. I don't know how the legal proceeding would go. But my guess is too is, you know, what if this goes to court? Anthem's response is going to be, Jeff, how much do you think we exactly made off of your trademark? Do we really think that they're? Do we really think that they've made millions of dollars off Global Force Wrestling trademarks? I mean, I can't imagine that there's a lot of money involved. If they relinquish the trademarks back to Jeff and they stop using it, my guess is that it settles pretty quickly.
I think they do actually have to change the name because the global part comes from Global Force Wrestling, so.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they could also argue like, oh, you know, it's just we're global around the world, like World Wrestling Entertainment. You know, maybe they could make that argument, but it is definitely where that came from. But it, again, I'm no legal scholar, so maybe you are definitely right and they need to ditch it.
Yeah. My second question concerns Impact ratings for this week. With upticks and number one status for Raw and SmackDown this week, at least in terms of key demographics, do you suppose Impact's rating will venture up this week as well?
I don't know that they're very related, to be honest with you. I think WWE saw a little bit of an uptick because they were coming out of SummerSlam. I think people were looking for the fallout of Roman Reigns winning the world title. And then on SmackDown Tuesday, you know, what are they going to do with Daniel Bryan and The Miz and Becky Lynch? I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff that WWE viewers would have been interested. Even a lapsed WWE viewer would have made sure, I think, to watch those shows. I watched more of Raw this week than I have in months. In part because I wanted to see what they were going to do with Roman Reigns. I watched all of SmackDown. I tend to watch most of SmackDown anyway, but I was Wade's host on the Wade Keller post show after SmackDown on Tuesday, so I had to watch all of SmackDown. But no, I know personally speaking, watched more of Raw than I generally do live. I always end up watching most of the show either on highlights or on DVR or whatnot, but I watched more of it live on Monday than I tend to. So I think it could have been that. You know, I think it could have just been the reaction coming out of SummerSlam, people wanting to see that fallout. I don't know that it's necessarily going to translate over to Impact, but we'll see tomorrow. Andrew, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it might for like a week or so, because in my mind, usually when it's WrestleMania season, Impact ratings seem to go up a little bit. I could be wrong on that, but it just seems like there's general interest more in wrestling. This is definitely much smaller than WrestleMania, but there might be a little bit of a bump. Plus, their ratings have been so terrible lately that it wouldn't take too much for their ratings to go up a bit. I guess I'm not an NFL guy at all, so I don't know if there was anything going on that end. But if there wasn't, yeah, then that also.
There's one preseason. Well, there might be more than one, but there is a network preseason game tonight. I think the Eagles, I think, were playing the Cleveland Browns on Fox. So you have not only an NFL game, but you have a network NFL game.
Oh, okay. Oh, that could be a little.
And that's the other thing. So going into the football season. WWE usually takes a hit when Monday Night Football starts back up on ESPN. I think all of the Thursday NFL games are now going to be on Fox. I think Fox has that package now. So now you're not just talking about games on NFL Network, which was a cable network. You're talking about these games being on Fox. Although I think some of them had aired on CBS in the past, but I think all of them are going to be on Fox now. So that could be something to keep an eye on. You know, if there's more viewers watching those NFL games because they're on a bigger network and they're not, you know, kind of hidden away on the NFL network, is that going to take even more viewers away from Impact than those Thursday night NFL games typically do?
For their sake, yeah, they better hope not.
And my final question for this week, I came up with this while sadly viewing Trevor Lee lose another match again.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Should underutilize Impact talent ply their trade to other promotions such as MLW before taking the more obvious route and going to WWE?
That's a really interesting question, and it's going to be interesting, I think, over the next year or so to watch that. You know, whether it's MLW who's going to require talent to produce the shows that they have to produce, or whether it's a company like Evolve who have obviously sent quite a few guys to NXT and then on to WWE. You know, you look at a guy like Matt Riddle. I mean, they just lost Matt Riddle to NXT last week, and who's going to take that spot? You know, who's going to take that top guy in Evolve spot? It's going to be interesting because I think NXT is going to start to gobble up more of those guys, and you're going to need that next generation, it's not long enough to be a generation, but that next wave of top talent for companies like MLW in Evolve. You're going to need those cupboards are going to have to be restocked fairly often, I think, if WWE takes the top guys in those companies as often as they have been doing. So yeah, I don't know. You know, to be honest with you, financially, it might be close to being the same. I don't know what Impact's paying, but you know, if you're a top independent worker, you're going to make probably more money than you'd make otherwise. You know, it depends on how well you market yourself. And yeah, I think, you know, Trevor Lee would fit in a role like that really well, because I think Trevor Lee's a really good wrestler, and he's not being utilized the way that he should in Impact. We've talked about that for, you know, how long have we been doing the show, Andrew? A year and a half?
A year and a half.
I think from show number one, we've been on that. So, it's for a guy like him, I think he could go out and have a lot of success on his own and get noticed on his own. But yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating to see how it works, because you've got a lot of new companies that are going to need top, a lot of new companies that are making a wave and making buzz that are going to need top guys, whether it's Evolve, whether it's MLW, who knows what happens with All In. I mean, is this a one-time thing, or do they start running more than one show? And we'll see. But there's a lot to consider here. So yeah, it's really fascinating to see what's going to happen, because I think some of those guys, if they don't feel like they're being used right on Impact, they're better off, I think, going out on their own. Yeah. I don't know what the pay difference would be, but I think it could be better off in the long run if they bet on themselves and try to, you know, try to create their own path. Andrew, what do you think there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think too many wrestlers' careers have been damaged through Impact or, you know, hurt their standing for potentially getting hired by WWE someday, except for maybe Trevor Lee. You know, I think if he was signed by NXT, he's not going to be a guy they even show in the crowd at a takeover event. I just don't think he means that much. And that's all on creative. You know, he doesn't have any sort of buzz going through him. So I think it would be good for him to get out of that company if possible, go to a Lucha Underground, go to an MLW, and just try to be portrayed in a different way by management. Because as we saw tonight, like, he deserves better than being a lackey idiot. And yeah, he's been doing this for a year and a half, 2 years. It's just bad how he's been portrayed.
Tried 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Because don't forget, he was a part of the original Global Force Wrestling versus TNA Invasion angle.
Ah, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Now that's coming back to my mind. So, yeah, I mean, which is weird because they took him more seriously back then. He keeps getting dumber and less effective in the ring. So the sooner he can get out, the better for him. And but, yeah, like you said, a lot of companies are going to need to restock. So he would be more valuable somewhere else. But overall, I think he's kind of one of the rare cases.
Well, that's it for this week, guys. See you next week.
Yeah, have a good one.
All right, Colin, thanks for the call as always. All right, let's go. Let's keep going here on the phone lines at 515-605-9345 and go to Ryan in Maryland. Ryan, how are you?
Good. Did we see the biggest upset tonight in Impact history? Or do you think of a match that had a bigger upset in Impact when Mr. Atlantis won tonight?
I can't think off the top of my head. I can't think one. Yeah. It's funny too, because it was an upset. There's no question, but they almost kind of gave it away, I think, in the way that they talked about it. The way that the commentary and the announcers were talking about it, and Eli Drake, you were kind of just waiting for those two random guys to win. Andrew, can you think of any other big upsets like that off the top of your head?
I mean, if you want to go like storyline wise, they would probably go like Jay Lethal beating Kurt Angle. 10 years ago or so. I mean, there's been a kind of storyline driven ones like that, but as for like two jobbers coming in and beating kind of some main roster guys, I'm sure it's happened at some point just due to some, but unlike other angles, I don't know if this will go anywhere. I don't know if we'll ever see those guys again, so it all feels
That's a thing.
Yeah, pointless.
I mean, if not, this could be the biggest upset since Barry Horowitz beat Skip of the Body Donnas.
There we go.
My second question for you is, do you know if Scarlett Bordeaux has ever had a boyfriend involved in wrestling before?
I have no idea. I'll be honest with you. I don't know much about her background at all. Andrew, do you know anything about her background, really?
I know nothing, and I think I said that last week on the show. So tonight I was going to look her up during just kind of read up on her, and I neglected to do that. So she is still a bit of a mystery to me. Maybe she's had a great independent career, and I've just somehow never picked up on her. So that sadly I don't have an answer for that one.
Yeah, quick Wikipedia search here. They don't mention anything. Quickly, you know, they mentioned that she lost to Nia Jax in a squash match on Raw in December of 2016. But yeah, no, they don't mention anything about her having any type of relationship with any other wrestlers. No, not that I can see anyway.
Oh, I do remember her from that Raw squash. Fun. Just like looking at her photos right now.
That was back when Nia Jax and Braun Strowman were squashing jobbers on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question for you on the Busy Hit Squad. Do you think maybe Sanjay Dutt could become a member? Is there anyone else from India that could help him get on the winning streak since they've been on quite the losing streak lately?
Mahabali Shira, of course.
The red member.
Yeah, you know what? I think Sanjay Dutt could actually work well with that group. We'll see what happens there. I mean, I don't think they're going to go. They can't rip off their own LAX angle where someone comes in and tries to save the Desi Hit Squad or anything like that. But I could see the group expanding. I don't know how close Sanjay Dutt is to returning. He's been hurt for the last several months. You know, he could be back in a month. He could be back in 8 months. I really don't know. But yeah, I could see him working with some of those guys, especially because I think he, Rohit Raju, who won that. It was so memorable, I can't even remember what it was called, competition they did last year on Impact. The reason why it was so memorable, it was like 30-second segments on a weekly basis, mm-hmm. and then he just won a contract. But I think he had a lot to do. I could be wrong, but I think he had a lot to do with kind of scouting and bringing that guy along. Sanjay Dutt had a lot to do with bringing Raju along, if I remember reading that somewhere. Maybe I'm incorrect. But, yeah, I could see him getting involved with them somehow. And that group expanding right now, though, they feel like they still need to gain some traction just on their own. Andrew, what do you think there?
I mean, Cher was the first one that popped to my mind, too, but I think he signed with WWE, didn't he?
Oh, did he? Oh, no, he did.
Yeah, I think he, I can't remember if it was just a trial, but I think he signed, but we haven't seen him on NXT yet, and surprisingly he didn't show up at TakeOver in the crowd.
Yeah, now he can do that weird dance on NXT.
Yeah.
He did. February 14th, he signed a contract with WWE, reported to the Performance Center. On March 1st, he used the Mahabali Shira name in his NXT debut at a live event.
Wow.
And on May 3rd, he was defeated by EC3 at a live event. He was defeated by Raul Mendoza at a live event.
What?
So, yeah. He's wrestled a lot of those Florida Loop live events for NXT. But as Mahabali Shira, apparently.
That's interesting that they didn't change his name. Otherwise, yeah, I can't... I think it would probably be best just to, like, bring in some people that we haven't seen, if possible. Otherwise, Sanjay could join the group. Otherwise, I could also see that him coming back and them trying to recruit him, and then he'll feud with them for a bit, kind of that sort of angle. Because I'm struggling to think of when Sanjay Dutt has been a heel. He probably has been at some point, but I don't recall any heel promos. And honestly, it's maybe not a bad move at this point in his career, because I think he's only going to go so far as the likable babyface. So maybe that's the route they should go.
You know, if Lacey Edwards and Eddie Edwards are really separated, or if there's any problems with their marriage based on this storyline they've been doing for a long time.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything actually wrong at all. I thought it was interesting tonight. I didn't get the impression that they were playing up that they were separated until tonight. I saw Don, I think it was Don Callis, or may have been Josh Matthews, somebody on commentary, mentioned that her and Eddie Edwards were no longer living together, which I don't remember being mentioned before. but yeah, I don't think there's any actual issues at all, but that's another silly one. there are a lot of goofiness going on lately, it feels like, with this show, but yeah, that was the latest installment of Alicia Edwards and Eddie Edwards was Eddie Edwards being very excited that Moose was back, which we haven't even talked about yet, and Alicia basically blowing him off to say she had a match to get ready for. But Andrew, what did you think of that return, and any reaction to the fact that their poor marriage is falling apart?
I think real life their marriage is fine. They seem to be. There doesn't seem to be any tension between them acting wise. So not that I think either one of them is that good of an actor, but yeah, they did that scene where he came home and she had taken all the stuff.
Oh, that's right. They did. He, that. Yeah.
He threw fit. Yeah. Just weirdness. Like Eddie Edwards, I still don't get it. His promo was goofy. Moose's return, underwhelming. I completely forgot about it. I guess, yeah, they'll be teaming up next week as Killer Cross so eloquently yelled at us multiple times. The return, I thought, felt pretty flat if they're going to kind of do that up in the opening of the show and not even really mention it for the rest of the night.
And my final question's on Kara Hogan. You know, if Hulk Hogan's your favorite wrestler, and how does Hulk Hogan feel about her gimmick, since she really is like the female version of the Hulkster, I think, with the way she does her hair and her outfit and with the name?
I'm assuming that she had to have been a Hulk Hogan fan. if nothing else, she's certainly using the name to her full advantage in the red and yellow, as her hair and ring attire suggest. But no, I don't know. Honestly, I'll be honest with you. I mean, this... No offense to Kira Hogan, but I'm not sure that Hulk Hogan even knows that it's a thing. Hulk Hogan seems like he's very focused on himself. I think that's fair to say. And he's trying to get himself back in WWE. So I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't even know that someone is using the Hogan name. But hey, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. Andrew, do you know whether or not her name is actually Kira Hogan?
I just looked this up, and I think it is. Like, if I go to Laurel Van Ness and Taya Valkyrie, it gives you their real names right away. But Kira Hogan just says Kira Hogan is an American professional wrestler.
So you know what? Good for her, then. That means she's smart. So she's owning it. Her last name is Hogan.
Interesting.
You know, you either got to change your name or you just got to kind of embrace it. So it seems like she's embraced it. I would not be a bit surprised, though, if Hulk Hogan doesn't know. But if he does know, I think he should just keep his mouth shut and try to stay as under the radar as possible, which he does not seem to know how to do.
No. And yeah, actually tonight, I all along I thought it was just in honor of Hulk. And, you know, tonight she was wearing a red and yellow outfit. So I just assumed it was kind of an homage to him. But apparently it is her actual name, according to Wikipedia, at least.
Okay, thanks for taking my call tonight.
All right, Hogan. Look at all right, have a good Ryan. Night, brother. Yeah, have a good night, brother. So I'm finding a story here from April, and the headline is "Impacts Kara Hogan on What Brooke Hogan Suggested to Her." So let me read. I have not read this. Let me see if I can find the quote.
Oh.
Okay. So this is a quote from Kara Hogan. This was published in April in an interview she did with Interactive Wrestling Radio. And the question was, would she ever want to do a daughter angle with Hulk Hogan? And the quote was, she apparently laughed, and and this is the first time I'm reading this. I have not read this beforehand, so I'm just going to read it and we'll react. She said, quote, "I wouldn't be opposed to it. I actually had a conversation with Brooke Hogan about it. She got a hold of me and was like, we should be sisters or something. And I was like, that would be so cool. My real name is Kara Hogan. That's my real name. When I got into wrestling, I was like, that works. I'm already a Hogan. But I didn't want to steal off what he, Hulk, was doing. I wanted to be my own Hogan. I want to be my own person. I want to be the girl on fire and set myself apart from Hulkamania and all of that, all that other jazz. But I definitely am not opposed to it. Of course, I was a fan, but I definitely want to be able to do my own thing at the same time." So, end quote. That's the end of the quote. So, yeah, it seems like she was a Hulk Hogan fan, although it's interesting that she says she wants to be her own Hogan and do her own thing, and her gear is red and yellow, her hair is red and yellow. I'm not sure you're doing your own thing if you're going with the same colors, because like you said, you know, like Ryan pointed out, that's going to make people automatically connect the dots. But you know what? It also works. The girl on fire thing, I mean, that red and yellow is kind of the colors of fire. So I think she, in a sense, is taking even the Hogan red and yellow and kind of making it her own version of the Hogan red and yellow, which I don't have a problem with, especially if it's a real name. You know, you could either change your name, but if you don't want to do that, you kind of have to own the fact that your name's Hogan and you're a wrestler. So I have no problem with it at all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if my last name was Hogan, I would do the exact same thing. Wow. Brooke and her as sisters. I don't even know how I. All right. I'm just trying to think of how that would play out on TV, and I don't know. Interesting.
Very, very interesting.
Missed out, sadly.
Yes. All right. Let's go to another break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. We'll hit on some of the stuff we haven't talked about yet, because we've only keyed on a couple of good things and a whole lot of bad. But we'll talk about some of the other stuff that we haven't talked about on this episode of Impact Wrestling. And we'll be back in a second to do that here on the PW Torch Livecast.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other pro wrestling media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at pwboom.com. Once again, that's pwboom.com.
All right, we're back here on the live cast. It's Thursday. It's August 23rd, 2018. I'm Mike McMahon with Andrew Stochek. We're here every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern following Impact Wrestling to talk Impact here on the post-Impact edition of the PW Torch Livecast. You can check out all of our shows at pwtorchlivecast.com. We're here every single day. There's a different livecast episode every single day of the week. And you can check out all of them at pwtorchlivecast.com. You can also check out a lot of the VIP content at pwtorch.com/govip and pwtorchvipinfo.com as well. We're currently running a sale for $1 for your first month. You can go VIP and get all of our content, including all of our coverage of New Japan's G1 tournament that wrapped up a couple of weeks ago. A lot of audio content on that, a lot of written content, of course, as well in the newsletter. You can also check out all of our coverage from SummerSlam and the fallout from SummerSlam over the last 5 days, including NXT TakeOver. There's just a ton of content. If you're not a VIP member yet, you should be. And Andrew, before we get to running up the rest of Impact, if you are a PW Torch VIP member, you would have heard you and I last week talk about the fact that we thought one of the only ways to get Roman Reigns cheered was to reunite him with the Shield. And so, on that note, Vince, we know you're listening. Welcome to the show. We're glad you're here. And feel free to listen every week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he does. But, I mean, this week he just made it obvious that he listens to the Impact Livecast. Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to give him more booking ideas because I'm not too overly thrilled in general with what's going on. But that's okay, Vince. We'll talk about it later.
I'll give you one free piece of advice, Vince. Just free. Ooh. Take it from one McMahon to another, even though we're not related. From one McMahon to another, free piece of advice. Don't kill any children on your show. Don't kill any kids, and we'll be good. I mean, he killed himself once, but as long as he doesn't kill any kids, I think we're fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's Wrestling 101.
I mean, if you tell me that Roman Reigns has to remain a babyface, but you're not going to kill any children, okay. That's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. If it means children will live, keep Roman Reigns as a babyface. I'm okay with it.
No children. I know he's tried to kill. I mean, Al Wilson got killed once.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but nobody.
Pepper. Don't forget Pepper. Was that Al Snow's dog's name?
Yeah, Pepper was eaten. Ugh. That's true.
Big Show's daddy died, as the Big Boss Man said.
That was, man, that was an emotional one.
We can't forget about Katie Vick.
Oh, Katie Vick died. We barely knew her.
Snitsky punted a baby.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, man. Lita. Oh, now that I'm thinking about it, Lita had a miscarriage, right?
I think it was. That was just bad.
Oh, yeah. Man. Vince.
Yeah. Well, in any event, if you're listening, Vince, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you. Call us sometime. I mean, I don't know what you're doing at 11 o'clock on a Thursday night, but hey, if you want to pick up the phone, feel free, right?
Yeah, I don't see why not. We can talk Impact with Vince.
Yeah, absolutely. If I see I think it's 207 in Connecticut. If I see a 207 number pop up on the caller queue, even if they don't hit the number one like you're supposed to, we're going to bring them up just to see who it is.
I bet he really liked the Grado segment tonight. That seems like his type of humor.
He definitely liked the Grado segment. He 100%. Yeah, that's got Vince written all over it. All right, let's kind of run through some of the other stuff that we haven't talked about yet. They started the show with we kind of talked about the Moose return, but yeah, Moose returned. He helped Eddie Edwards. Blah. That's kind of my reaction to this. I said in my report on pwtorch.com, I said, so there's Moose. that's my reaction. You know, he had his world title match against Austin Aries at Slammiversary. He's disappeared. He hasn't been heard from since. They've barely talked about him since. And he comes and helps Eddie Edwards tonight. So it will be Aries and Killer Cross against Moose and Eddie Edwards next week in a tag team match. I can't say that I'm that excited about it, to be honest with you. I don't feel like they've made Moose feel like a big enough deal. And all of the stuff that they did prior to Slammiversary that I thought made him feel like a bigger deal and a bigger main eventer, kind of, I think for whatever reason, him not being on the show after that match has made a lot of that stock dwindle, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. But I think the fans were never fully on board Moose-a-mania, the idea of him becoming world champ. I often on the show will just like say a certain wrestler should go away for a few months, and I feel that's how Moose should do. Because I think he's just too beyond rehab at this point. I think he needs to really look within and just like, be more comfortable. Like as soon as he did his promo backstage, it was just immediately like, oh yeah, that's why he doesn't work as a main event guy. He's fine. He's a fine addition to any roster, but I don't see him as a major player. And I think the crowd's reaction to him, I just think the underwhelming having him out there in his promo, just I don't think any of it really clicked in an effective way. And I'm with you. Not, I'm just not that excited. And the Killer Cross, Austin Aries pairing, I'm not quite feeling yet still, but it's only 3 weeks, so maybe it'll grow on me.
Exactly, yeah. No, I'm kind of in the same boat. Matt Sydal beat Zachary Wentz in a singles match. I thought Zachary Wentz looked good here. I know that Josh Matthews talked about how he's made a name for himself on the indie scene, and I've heard of Zachary Wentz. I haven't I don't believe I've seen him wrestle until tonight, but I thought it was a good showing for him, even in a loss. The announcers did a good job of playing up how athletic he was and how good he looked in a match against Matt Sydal. I mean, I think they made the point that Matt Sydal was X Division champion up until recently, and Zachary Wentz almost beat him a couple of times with some near falls. So I thought they did a pretty good job of building up Zachary Wentz, even though he took the loss here, which leads me to believe that he might not be under contract, because I think if he's a guy who's under contract that they're going to build around, he wrestles someone who isn't Matt Sydal in his first match, and he probably wins. But it leads me to believe that he could be someone that they look at as maybe signing in the future, because I don't know why they would go out of their way to build him up so much if they didn't have some interest in maybe using him down the road.
I think so, too, and I do like the idea of wrestlers, you know, if say this was real, a wrestler would get a shot. He would just come in for a fight. And I don't think you always have to do a squash match with two no-namers. So I like this approach. And hey, if he's good enough, yeah, bring him back. If he's not, no worries. Bring him back at any point. Could be 6 months down the road. The other thing I like that they're doing is with Matt Sydal, because often when a wrestler loses a title, they don't know what to do with that wrestler. I mean, just look at Eli Drake and what he's done ever since losing the world title. Whereas Matt Sydal at least has like a mission. He's out to prove himself again. He's getting meaningful segments to get his character over, and he was given a good win tonight. So overall, I thought this was a pretty solid segment.
After that, after that Zachary Wentz Matt Sydal match, lost my place here. They did some comedy stuff. I think it was supposed to be comedy stuff with Trevor Lee and Caleb Conley. They found two random guys in the back and said that they were going to beat those two random guys to prove to. I think the idea was they were going to prove to Eli Drake that they were his friends. So they were going to beat these two random guys to show that they were his friends. That's kind of what I got out of it. Didn't make much sense. They went on to lose later in the night. So that was. I don't know. I thought Eli Drake was good on commentary. That was the only positive I take away from that segment / match.
Yeah, just, I mean, going back to before, it's just Trevor Lee is completely wasted, and it's basically a whole new level now. I mean, they've completely dropped Cult of Lee and him having any sort of influence on people whatsoever, and now he's just a complete idiot who's oblivious to everything around him, which we'll never get over.
I also thought it was interesting that Don Callis at one point said to Eli Drake, hey, you know, you're really good at this. Do you want to kick Josh out? You and I can do this every single week. And this almost seemed like there was too much reality to it. It seemed like it was beyond just a heel wrestler saying something. It seemed like Eli Drake may have had some truth in this, but he kind of made a jab that, hey, you know what? You pay me, Don, and I'll sit here every week and do commentary with you. And then he looked right in the camera and pretty loudly went, pay me, and walked off. And as a guy who recently resigned, so he must have been paid enough that he wanted to come back. But yeah, I thought that was interesting considering for a while his contract status was up in the air.
Mm-hmm. That's a two, and then plus also I was like, yeah, that might not be a bad idea.
He was good. I mean, I'll be honest with you, like, Eli Drake was good on commentary.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Then Falaba and KM. So Falaba backstage gives KM a gift, and the gift was his ring gear. So KM now has ring gear that looks exactly like Falaba, and KM and Falaba beat the Desi Hit Squad. I'll be honest with you, I thought this match was fun. I think Falaba is fun. And he's as good as you get right now as far as wrestling comedy is concerned, because he's pretty subtle. Just the fact that he only says ba, I think, is funny. And then also, I thought that KM looked good here. I mean, I don't know exactly what he did in the finish. KM hit some type of, like, power bomb into a code breaker or something, but it looked really, really cool. And Falaba and KM get the win. So I like KM and Falaba. I like their interaction together. I think a lot of it is – I think they have good chemistry. And considering what they're supposed to be, a lower card comedy act, I think it works well.
Yeah, I think this is solid stuff once again from them. I like the backstage segment. I think the match wasn't as much fun for me because I just like – I like the tension more between them, and I thought KM was a little bit too smiley, happy-go-lucky, going with ever Falaba was saying. So I think that kind of hindered some of the comedy for me. But overall, yeah, they continued to be a fun mid-card act on the show.
Then from there, Kira Hogan beat Alicia Edwards, and then Ali challenged Sue Young and Tessa Blanchard to a triple threat title match, or just to a triple threat match next week. Tessa said she would take it as long as the title was on the line. So apparently it is going to be a triple threat title match, knockouts title match. Thought this was okay. I thought the match was not very good, I didn't think. I thought it was kind of slow. It looked like two wrestlers in there that were pretty green. You know, I'm not a wrestler. So that was a big thing on Twitter this week. If you've never wrestled before, how dare you, you know, criticize wrestling or give an opinion on it. But yeah, no, I didn't think the match was very good. It looked a little clunky. Wasn't real crisp. And you could kind of tell, even to the untrained eye, to someone who has, quote unquote, never taken a bump, you could kind of tell that there was some slowness to the pace and it just something wasn't quite right. But they got out of what they needed to get out of. I mean, Kira Hogan gets the win, and then it's set up, was kind of there, it felt like, for the Ali promo in the background afterwards. But what did you think of this, the match, and then Ali cutting her promo and challenging for the triple threat next week?
Yeah, I'm with you. It just wasn't that good. Probably a lower end NXT type match, it felt like.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Just two people that just aren't quite have their rhythm down yet. I don't know if either is specifically to blame, but it just wasn't good. And then it you know, Ali going on the microphone afterwards and being like, that was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just kind of added to that, like, no, it really wasn't. Ali's promo was pretty good, I thought, for her. But I'm not really overly excited to see the match. The women's division just continues to be struggling. There just aren't enough women on the roster to make this interesting at the moment.
Totally agree. Yeah, hopefully Tessa wins there. I think it. Mm-hmm. You know, at some point you got to give her the belt, and until there's a baby face, it seems like she's an adequate challenger. Tessa Blanchard is just the title holder for the foreseeable future, until someone comes along who maybe, you know, can believably beat her. I think which might be a challenge.
90
right now,
seconds. So.
Okay, we gotta wrap up the show on that note. We're pushing 11:30 here. So anything you want to add before we wrap up for this week?
No, I'll just then quickly plug. Check out pwpodcast.com. We got written recap reviews up there. Otherwise, and if you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at Andrew SOUCEK.
You can follow me on Twitter at Mike McMahon PW. You can listen to me and Wade Keller on the
seconds.
Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Pro Show after SmackDown this week. If you haven't checked that out yet, or if you haven't watched SmackDown yet, or if you have watched SmackDown and you want some reaction that Wade and I had to the show, you can do that by checking out the Tuesday edition of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. We talked a lot about Becky Lynch and Charlotte, but you can check that out. You can also read my report on Impact Wrestling tonight over at pwtorch.com. So that will do it for the Thursday livecast for this week. We thank you for joining us. We want to thank you for calling and listening and all that stuff. We'll talk to you next week back here on a Thursday. Andrew and I will be back on Thursday night at 10 p.m. next week to talk Impact Wrestling. And you know what, Andrew? We might as well do picks. We do picks every WWE pay-per-view or big pay-per-view. We might as well do all-in picks next week. How's that sound?
Ooh, sure. Yeah. I'm all in on that. I'll have to read up on it
seconds.
A little bit, but let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, I just heard the card today. Todd Martin and Wade Keller were talking about the card on the Fix. So it'll be interesting because, you know, that's cool. Not a lot of storylines in any of these matches. They're just kind of paired up and put together. Although we have the NWA title match, which will be interesting. I mean, that's the one that really has some storyline to it. Nick Aldis and Cody Rhodes, or just Cody. I don't want to get in trouble. It's just Cody. but yeah, so we'll do all in picks next week as well on the show. So thanks again for listening to the live cast here on a Thursday. Andrew and I will talk to you next week as soon as Impact goes off the air. And again, If you're not a VIP member, you should be. We talked a little bit about PW Torch VIP earlier. Wade Keller is going to come on by now and tell you all the rest of the details about going VIP. So thanks again for listening to the live cast here on a Thursday. Andrew and I will talk to you next week right back here on the PW Torch live cast.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including the review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer. And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.
Yeah.